Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This is Eric, the Quantum Ranger, and you're listening to From the Command Center. Q-Rex, arise!
Time Force! Power Rangers! Racing to another time. Chronomorphers are alive. Timeless wonders, fire and thunder, off to save the world. Go, go, Time Force!
Hello and welcome to yet another interview here on From the Command Center. I am one of your hosts, DFJ and Mike from the GeekCast Radio Network, and joining me is Scotty Cash from Pop Culture Network. Hello, sir.
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. We just got another awesome interview. We just finished our Time Force episode, which I'll be sending this person a link so they can hear our Time Force review. Joining us here on From the Command Center is the one, the only Quantum Ranger, Daniel Southworth. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Yo, yo, yo.
That mean good?
Yes.
Yo, yo, yo means good. All right, got it.
Yeah, there's a certain Power Rangers series that uses a yo-yo, a soccer ball, a bowling ball as a weapon.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah. Well, not a yo-yo. They use an armadillo zord as a soccer ball and a bowling ball. Type of weapon in Wild Force.
Interesting. Yes, Wild Force. Very interesting.
Yes. So before we get started in the general questions we usually have, give us the scoop on what is going on in the world of Daniel Southworth. What have you been up to? I know you've got an upcoming project called Divergence. What else have you been up to before we get into the details of Divergence?
I just got back from Atlanta. I was filming a J.J. Abrams pilot out there.
Sweet.
Nice.
And everybody seems very hopeful that it'll get picked up and turned into a show. And when and if it does, I'll be able to talk about it then. Other than that, that's all I can say. Mm-hmm. Ninja Gaiden 3 just came out. I did all of the motion for Ninja Gaiden. I was Ryu Hayabusa. They had hired somebody, the original, I guess they hired somebody else to do the voice months ahead of time, but they asked me if I would do the movements, and I was flattered. So I enjoyed doing the work that we did on Ninja Gaiden 3. As far as the game, I hope it pleases its fans. Other than that, I work as an actor when work comes along, sometimes as a stuntman. There's a Disney show called Kickin' It, and I come in, they bring me in there to do the wire rigging for them and the wire work, and then also they get a little bonus. They'll throw me in as a bad guy. So you'll see me on episodes periodically of Kickin' It, Disney show.
Wow.
I'll have to watch for that because I have a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old, and we watch everything on Disney and Nickelodeon constantly.
It's Disney XD.
Watch for it. Yeah, I know what the kick in it is.
Yeah, so I believe one of the episodes that I just did aired 2 days ago. So anyway, I try to stay busy. Other than that, a lot of time is devoted to training to stay sharp. And some of the whatever time left over is that I have left over is for my hobbies, the things that I like to do for myself, which is build furniture and play my guitar badly. very badly, but someday it'll be okay. And, you know, and read and do the things that I do other than that.
Awesome. Very awesome. So you just finished, and this is, I wasn't mad, but I was like, oh no. I'm always the person that if someone else gets an interview with one person that I want to interview next up or whatever else, I usually have to wait. I usually like to wait like a, you know, at least a year away, because they're going to give essentially the same answers. And I noticed that you just did an interview over at nopinkspandex.com.
That's correct.
Their No Pink Spandex Live is coming up next weekend, April 26th and 27th. Or
yes.
No, 27th and 28th, that's what it is.
27th, 28th.
Yeah, and I was like, when Lisa posted that on Twitter, I'm like, oh, damn it.
She's such a jerk.
Oh, no. She's cool. So for those of you who didn't listen to that interview, which I will also post in the web post for this one, where did you grow up? Let everybody know what was Dan Southworth like as a kid.
Oh man, this is No Pink Spandex all over again.
No, let's not do No Pink Spandex all over again.
No, I'll give you a little bit more than or something a little bit different, so there'll be more information there if you listen to both shows. So anyway, I grew up in Northern California. Grew up in Monterey. My recollection of Monterey was of me wandering down around Fisherman's Wharf and all over the place, but you know, I think I was only 5 years old, 4 or 5 years old, and I can't understand for the life of me why my mother let me wander around like that. But I have lots of memories of various adventures, from Monterey, and I didn't spend a lot of time there. Eventually, we moved to San Jose when I was around 5 or 6, and that's where I grew up until I left around 21, 22 years old to come to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I was in lots of trouble. I would climb all over things. I'm surprised I never broke a bone in my body for as many times as I'd fallen on. So I fell on my head a few times. Got into all kinds of trouble, both in San Jose and Monterey. You know, climbing trees, climbing houses, climbing fences, balancing on stuff. I think, you know, it was a pretty clear indication that I was going to be a stuntman. Or at least work in action some way or another right. Early on.
Yeah.
Little bit of a daredevil, and did some dumb things too. Drank some gasoline, had to get my stomach pumped.
Oh wow!
Yeah, the very first thing you did for stunts was Martial Law, the TV series. Wow.
That was the first official stunt job, but I had worked a few jobs before that.
Yep.
A lot of independent shows. Every stuntman does that when they're working out. When they're coming up, they need to work as many non-union jobs as they can to get experience. And then eventually, you know, they have enough experience. They're savvy on set, and somebody trusts them to hire them for a show. That's what happened with me.
So did you go to school to be a stuntman for, you know, how many years did you go to?
There's no school for stunts here in Hollywood. There, it's surprising because you'll find places that you can go to learn the craft and the trade in Japan, in Hong Kong, in Canada, but in Hollywood, in America, you know, somebody takes you under their wing, and usually people that get into stunts are people who were experts in a particular sport or field before they get into stunts. So some people raced cars, some people rode motorcycles. I happen to do martial arts and acrobatics. And I competed in the martial arts circuit doing self-defense choreography. So when I came to Los Angeles, I was, you know, I had the skill sets that I needed to do shows like Martial Law, which was where I met this guy, Andy Chang, who used to be one of Jackie Chan's choreographers and a part of his team. He went on to direct and action direct and still does a lot of shows. And I became his sort of right-hand man for about – there were two of us. There was me and one other guy, and he's writing and producing now. But the two of us were sort of his right-hand guys for like 7, 8 years, and that was something I decided to do because if I wanted to be somebody who was going to be really good at action and follow in the footsteps of some of the action greats like Jet Li, Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, then I figured I had to – put in some time actually being a stuntman, which is what Jackie Chan did and Sammo Hung. And as a result, I got a chance to work with all three of those guys. So
that's awesome.
That's a bit of a tangent from the answer to the question, how did I grow up?
That's okay. We like tangents. One of the things I noticed just looking at your IMDb here, you got to work with Pam Anderson. VIP in 2001 as Reynaldo.
Yeah, I was a stunt guy who it was known that I was wanting to be an actor. So right. When you're a stunt guy and you also want to act, they'll throw you the lines and they'll let you, audition for co-star roles and stuff when they need those guys to do action and die in big explosions or get hit by cars, stuff like that. So
yeah,
I got an opportunity to audition for the role and got the role. I got to tell you, though, I only saw Pam Anderson once in passing. She was, I think, sunbathing out in front of her trailer.
Well, that's the best way to see her.
Yeah, right. And that was about it. I worked with the other actress, Molly.
Oh, sweet.
Much more, because my character, my co-star role was centered around her storyline. So we worked together quite a bit, but no Pam Anderson. Sorry, guys.
Did you want to talk about your web series a little bit, Daniel?
Yeah, Divergence is a sci-fi action series, we've got 10 episodes that we shot. We will plan to start releasing the episodes very shortly, sometime this year. We're just waiting for a final sound mix, the finishing touches, and then we'll be ready to release. And if it does well, we'll finish out the season, and we will produce season 2. We've got about 4 or 5 other shows that we'd like to produce as well, and we're hoping that Divergence does really well for us. It looks great. It has great production value, and I'm hoping it's going to shine well when we release it.
And I'm sure it will. So it's Yuna and a couple. Are these your buddies? Are these? I mean, who came up with this idea?
The director and the writer, he and I sat down 3 years ago when I was starting to hear about people doing things for the internet. And back then it was just comedies, and it still primarily is comedy routine, variety show types. That's sort of the model that's a little bit, that's successful on the internet. So I said to him, let's do a scripted action show because I have a lot of experience doing action. I can do it quick. I know who to hire. And, we thought we'd just have him running the camera, me and another actor, and we'd just do this really simple show. Well, it turned into a much bigger production as we sat down and started to develop the story, because the story started to get really interesting and excite us. And that meant we had to invest more in the story to make it, as awesome as we.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We felt it could be, so.
Well, that's good.
So I ended up casting actors that could do their own action. That I went through a long process. I did have my friends audition as well. Everybody had to audition. They had to both pass my quality requirements and the directors. And we wanted to make sure that we hired real actors, not just people, people with good experience and good craft.
Right.
And the action actually became secondary to the story and the acting. And so we got lucky with one of the actresses. She's an amazing actress and great at the action. And then I was able to, fill in the rest of the cast with stunt guys and actors that have ability to do both action and acting. And pretty soon we had a very capable cast. And we went out and we shot the show, and it was great.
That's good. So you got 10 episodes down, and what's the release date? Do you guys have a set release date yet?
We don't have a set release date because we're a small production company. And one thing we wanted to say to ourselves is we can't run ourselves like a normal production company. Not yet.
Right.
We don't have the wherewithal yet. The show does really well. We'll be able to hire a staff and start releasing stuff a lot more quickly. But right now, we have to wait until the quality of what we are building, what we are crafting and creating is matches our standards and is what we're hoping to the show to be like. So that means, you know, we're not just slamming scenes together in a quick edit and then pumping them out. We had to take time to find an editor that could work with us that's very talented, and we did find one. And that meant, though, that we were beholden to his schedule because he's very busy doing other movies. Mm-hmm. We had a great music composer, Brandon Roberts, and we sort of had to wait and make our schedule accommodate his. And I got to say, he accommodated us more than we accommodated him. And the same thing goes with our sound mixer. We're waiting for him. So it just means that we have to take time because we don't have the wherewithal to just dump a bunch of cash on people and go, hey, do this now. And I prefer that. I prefer it that way anyway, because you get – I wanted – throughout the whole production of this series, even when we were producing – when we first started shooting, we were going to try to shoot all 12 episodes in 9 days. And then we had a few schedule conflicts, and I made the decision just to shoot six episodes and then come back later and shoot six more. Shoot the other four. So along with pickups. So that's been a very important lesson from that moment on, because the stuff we were getting back was looking great, and the acting was great, and the picture and the sound quality and the action. So we realized right then and there, this is how we have to operate until we have the wherewithal to put a big team together and start giving ourselves deadlines. And
right.
That being said, we still have, we're still forcing ourselves to try to finish this stuff and get it out quickly. We still impose deadlines on ourselves, but they're not the end of – it's not the end of the world if we can't make our deadline.
Right.
However,
right.
We would like to get this show out in the next month. We'd like to get this show out and viewed. We have a few people that think the show is very good and that some of these other companies are going to want to buy it. So we're going to have to go through that process next. After we get enough of the episode sound mixed to the level of quality that we prefer, I'll be trying to take some meetings. And there's a few that I have there's a few contacts that I have that are waiting to hear from me. And it's very possible a company might buy this.
That'd be awesome.
If that happens, we'll just have to let everybody know on the website that, we've been picked up by a company, and that just means that the show is going to be that much better. I got to tell you, I think it's pretty damn good as is. And any company that buys it probably isn't going to invest any more into the process of finishing the show. It looks great. It sounds great already. They'll probably invest in continuing the series. And that's just good news.
So without spoiling the entire plot of the series, give us the basic just rundown description of what Divergence is all about.
Military intelligence officer comes back from the war. He is diagnosed with a form of PTSD. He's paranoid. He thinks people are following him. Post-traumatic stress disorder. That's what PTSD means. And so he decides to act on it and attack one of these guys that he thinks is following him, and it turns out some weird stuff happens. He chases the guy down. The guy disappears into thin air. Did he really disappear into thin air, or is he hallucinating? Is it a function of his post-traumatic stress disorder? But he finds a little trinket that the man leaves behind, and it's a physical, real-world piece of evidence that maybe he's not quite so crazy. So he takes this technological device, this trinket that he finds. It's not quite a trinket. It's a little larger than a trinket.
It looks like a cell phone from the 80s. I've seen some of the promo pics.
It does, doesn't it? It's a really strange device. He takes it to his buddy who he knew during the war, who was a techie. And they start to investigate, further.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Without ruining anything else, is the Q-Rex involved
in your show? No, it's not,
Scotty.
How
do you know? What if he was like, what if
no,
he just called him?
No, it's not.
No, it sounds awesome, and you definitely need to let us know you know, when you get closer to a release date, or if even if so we can, you know, we can tell our fans so they can keep up with Daniel as well as us.
Definitely. And as soon as we know when it's going to be released, we'll post it up all over the website as well.
Very awesome.
And the Facebook fan page. And in fact, if you go to www.whatisdivergence.com, that's the website, and you can click on either of the still pictures or the trailer and go and take a look at those things. Or you can click on the Facebook fan page, and all the still pictures are up there as well as the link to the trailer. So,
awesome.
Good deal. All right. Well, can I ask you if you had watched Power Rangers before you were in the cast? You know, we've asked other Power Rangers, or if you've heard an interview where they ask other Power Rangers, you know, they feel silly because they're trying to make up that they were huge Power Ranger fans, and then they say something that doesn't make any sense and all the Power Ranger fans catch it and freak out.
I watched Power Rangers. I saw an episode or two, and I thought, oh, what an interesting show. It reminded me of Ultraman or some of the Japanese shows that I used to watch as a kid growing up. So I thought, oh, great. This is really cool. This stuff is finally coming to America, and it's popular. I love it. It's awesome. And then I got an audition for the show when they changed out the first three cast members. There's a huge audition to replace them. I auditioned for that. I drove down to Burbank, California, auditioned. A couple of days later, they told me they wanted me to screen test for one of the possible roles. So they flew me back out to Burbank. I screen tested with Johnny Young Bosch. He and I believe, were up for the Black Ranger role.
Oh, sweet.
Wow.
Yeah. So me, him, Karen Ashley, the guy who played Rocky. I'm sorry. What was it?
Steve Cardenas.
Steve Cardenas, really nice guy. And a couple other people were there. And there were eight of us total. They put us up in a hotel. We had dinner together every night. We screen tested all day for about a week, and you know, we signed contracts. And they didn't let us know who got the job until the very last day. So, of course, I drive back home. Decide, you know what? If I'm already, it was my first audition in Los Angeles, so I was thinking, maybe I should give this career a shot. If I'm being flown down for screen testing after only one audition, so I moved out. Couple of months later, I booked the exact same part as Johnny for the live show. So I am the Black Ranger on tour for the MCA live show that toured the world, that went to Mexico, Europe, and Australia. So I do that. After I get done doing that, corporate headquarters no longer has time to send the stuntmen from the show out to do appearances, so they need to hire a separate team. And they put together a team that is comprised of performers from the show, like myself and a few other people. And I meet with the director of the promotional team, and they hire me. So I do that. So anytime you ever hear about the Power Rangers showing up to a DARE event or a mall or the Walmart, anywhere, those are actually people like myself that they pay. We were actually stunt people, and we were very capable of performing anything and everything anyone wanted, and because they wanted us to be the real thing. They paid us a good chunk of change to go out and meet and greet people, and that's what we did. So I did that on and off for a bunch of years. They revive the live show with Lost Galaxy. Fox does. That tours the country. I get hired to play the Red Ranger in that. And it's directed by one of the action directors from the actual television show. Those guys really like my ranger acting, quote unquote, and take me under their wing. They hire me onto the show as a stuntman. In between all of this, I was also working for Jackie Chan's choreographer, Andy Chang. And I think that garnered me a little bit of respect among the Japanese stunt guys. So I worked for about a week or two on the Incarnation Time Force as a stuntman. And they asked me to audition for the Quantum Ranger. I auditioned. They have to go back because I get the role. They have to go back and erase or cut me out of the footage.
cut the stunt parts out, yeah.
Cut the stunt parts out because...
that would be confusing.
Because they hired me out. And I think I was running from some monster that looked like it was a cross between an egg and Humpty Dumpty, and what is that? What is that? Is it Orb? Is it that new that game that everybody?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
Yeah, I think I remember. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my. So by the time I was hired onto the show, I knew exactly what the show was about. I knew everything about the show. I knew how the formulas worked. I knew where and when they wanted to create conflict with characters. I was very well versed in the Power Ranger universe. And
I will agree.
Other actors, when I came onto Time Force, weren't. So, and they thought I was there to replace one of them. And because there needs to be this conflict between the character Eric and the rest of the cast, or the rest of the other Rangers, I didn't tell them for 2 weeks that I wasn't there to replace them. I made them think that I was. So every time I came on set, they were very nervous.
Oh.
And which I thought was funny. And then afterwards, we all actually became pretty close and got along really well. So
were there any, like, besides that practical joke, were there any others on the set that you guys engaged in?
Gosh. You know, I can't say. Usually when I was on set, a lot of my roles were filmed with second unit, mm-hmm. Which was the action unit.
Right.
And very rarely was I on first unit long enough even to participate in any real practical jokes. I know those guys.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We're a lot closer. They worked a lot more together, and they probably played a few jokes on each other, but I didn't really participate in much. But we got along. I mean, you know, we had a good time.
I can just see you giving noogies to Trip. And you see Eric being that cruel older brother.
It's always good to hear, you know, that somebody gets a shot, but I feel it's better that when someone like yourself works their tail off and puts all the work in and finally gets a chance, you know, at something.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Cahill's mom said to me once, she said, you know what, Dan, you're going to be one of those guys that just forces his way into this industry.
And that's exactly what you did.
And I chuckle because that's been my whole career. It's all been proving the hard way and earning every bit that I get the hard way. And you know what? I prefer it, and I respect that other people who do that in whatever career they have or craft that they're involved in, because it's how you develop a real sense of your abilities, your craft, and believe it or not, some humility, because you respect the hard work that it takes to get there, and you see the hard work that other people put in when it comes to making a show. You know, the actors aren't the only one on the set. There's a whole crew. Mm-hmm. I think it makes you a better filmmaker or person all the way around to work hard for and to earn your way.
Yeah. And I mean, you have an almost keen insight to this because as you said, you were a stuntman. So you knew not only do the actors have to do their acting, whoever's in the actual suits, those are the stunt guys that have to actually do the stunts and do all the moves and everything else. Did you ever, at any chance, get to wear the Quantum Ranger suit?
Did I? I think once. I actually, believe it or not, after I finished working on the show, I was hired to do more appearances again. And, of course, I did them because why not? You know, extra money in the pocket. And
right.
You're not doing anything, you might as well. So I think once I did don the Quantum Ranger outfit. I played so many. I was so many colors when I did those. It was blue. It was green. It was gold. It was red. Lots of times.
Quick story, Dan. I went to San Diego for the San Diego Comic Con, and they had the Samurai Rangers there. And I was sitting in the crowd, and you know they come out and they're all jumping around and hooting and hollering. And the guy looks over next to me and he goes, "That's me." And I was like, I kind of look at him like, what? What are you talking about? And he's like, I play Mike. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? And he showed me a bunch of pictures of like what you're talking about, people getting hired to be the actual ranger on camera. You know, so he's like this stunt man, I guess.
Okay.
But it was just real weird because I was just like, really? Because, I mean, I guess I didn't think about it until he said that these guys weren't actually, you know, running around these. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. I don't want to take anything away from this person you were talking to. I don't know who you were talking to. So, but I do want to say this. They're on the show, it was primarily the Japanese guys that did all of the stunts for the Power Rangers. And if anybody has claimed to being a real Power Ranger, it's those guys. Second to them are guys, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but guys like myself or friends of mine who were very capable stuntmen and as a result earned the right to perform in those costumes. It's very difficult to see in those costumes. It's in those costumes, believe it or not, the spandex is not quite that stretchy. So it's like having a big giant rubber band on you, and it's very difficult to move as a result. The boots aren't the best, but you still have to perform and do these amazing acrobatic tricks. And you can't see. You cannot see in that. I mean, sometimes it's not true. You can see, but it's not that easy. And when you have no peripheral vision, you're flipping and flying through the air on timing, instinctual timing. So you've done the flips enough that you know the floor is supposed to come up right now, and you stick your feet out, and there it is. You're like, oh, there it is.
So
there's those guys, and then there's guys that do the appearances that some of us may have performed in the show, and some of them are just guys that do a couple of kicks in the costume. And I don't want to take anything away from them, but there's a lot of people that come through and get
and
to
think that you're in the suit,
but not all, you know, I hear people say all the time, I'm a Power Ranger. And I look at them and I go, you're not a Power Ranger. You're not the guy that I saw had to do a double front, you know, in the costume. Yeah. And if he mistimes his landing, he's going to smash his face. And you know, those helmets were between $1,500 and $3,000 a piece. So they only let you on the show. They only let you in that costume if they really trust you. So that's kind of the hierarchy in how it goes.
I wish I could remember his name because he told me his name, but he was a medium-sized Japanese guy. And halfway through the interview, somebody came and got him, and he was like, you know, come on, come on. And after he walked out, another little, you know, Japanese guy walked out with him. So I assume that those were the guys that were the con Power Rangers, you know, like in their suits.
Maybe,
you know,
taking
pictures and stuff.
It could very well have been one of the stunt guys they got to come down and do it too. You never know. And then of course in Japan there are tons of those guys that do that stuff.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, the thing is, those guys are amazing performers. So I never want to take anything away from those guys. Those guys are the real Power Rangers. They're amazing performers.
When Scotty and I were
Alpha Stunts Japanese stunt team, those guys are the Power Rangers.
That's awesome. When Scotty and I were
I'm missing one guy. It's Alpha Stunts and it's also AAC, which stands for Attractive Action Club. Those are the two that were the prominent stunt teams that did Power Rangers.
That's awesome. When Scotty and I have already put up our Time Force review as far as covering the series, but before we did that, Scotty had never seen the series before. So when he got to Eric, he's like, yeah, I hate this guy. And I'm like, dude, it's all right. It gets better. He gets character development. And the way I look at Eric Myers is that he's a character that everyone loves to hate. But once he gets the character development he got, once they get to that point where that character changes, they immediately like him.
I will definitely agree with Mike. You know, like you said, I'd never seen it before, so I'm a couple episodes in, and I'm hating your guts. I'm like, I wish a Q-Rex would step on this guy. I'm like, look, Wes keeps going out of his way, and this guy keeps just blowing him off like a jerk. Mm-hmm. But you know, now that I've seen them all, I would probably put you as my favorite ranger on the series over Wes.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool. Thank you.
They did an amazing job on the character development, and you did an amazing job along with the other rangers, you know, the other actors. It was just a really good story all the way around.
Well, thank you. I thought so too. And I think that, you know, that year was the year they really focused on trying to make the story. They focused on bringing this, growing up the story a little bit, making it a little bit more mature. And as a result, you know, there were more interesting things. I get comments all the time from parents saying that, hey, I really enjoyed watching that show with my children. I sat down to watch it with them, and I was surprised at how much I was into it, just as much as they were. So I think that was a result of that.
Well, definitely
anything I can, yeah, more than anything I can claim credit for.
Yeah. Well, while we're on the subject, you know, and I mentioned the Q-Rex earlier, and the Q-Rex is absolutely amazing. I'm sure you have one in your garage right next to your, you know, whatever car you drive. But did you have another favorite Zord on the show? You know, if you've even thought about it, you know.
You know, I grew up watching Voltron, and nothing was cooler than, you know, the five cats that made, you know, the Voltron Zord. So that always has been and always will be my favorite, quote unquote, Zord. But next to that, I got to see the Q-Rex is pretty damn awesome. The only thing about the Q-Rex that I thought was kind of strange was that he's like a big giant pet, and I thought it would have been really cool if the Quantum Ranger could actually get inside and command and control it, you know.
Yeah, the Q-Rex actually reminds me of the Dragon Zord from Mighty Morphin, because, as you just said, you never got into him, just like Tommy never got into the Dragon Zord.
Yeah.
Tell us a story that you have not told before about anything to do with Forever Red.
Anything to do with Forever Red. I don't think there's anything left that I can tell that's interesting.
Was there, like, you know, when Jason David Frank and Austin St. John first came on set, did they like, oh, you, I'm going to kick your ass. You took my job.
they were really cool. I mean, you know, they hadn't been on the show for, I think, at least 15 years at that point, right? Was it 15? Something like that, between 10 and 15. And you know, I think everybody was just happy to be working again. So everybody got along, and everybody was really cool. Jason David Frank was a great guy to hang out with. So was Austin St. John.
Can we?
There weren't any clash of egos going on, believe it or not.
All right, we're gonna play a quick game, Dan. I'm gonna give you the past Red Rangers. I'm gonna give you the real names, and you just give me two or three words, real quick, describing how you feel about them. We're not trying to dig up any dirt or start any fights. If I say Jason David Frank and you say prankster, I'll take it. I'll accept it. Are you ready, sir?
Okay, I don't know how well I'm going to do with this, but go for
it. It's fine. Austin St. John.
Funny guy.
Okay, Jason David Frank.
Really funny guy.
You're doing good. What's his name? Selwyn Ward?
Really nice guy. Nice fella.
Okay, Christopher Johnson.
Christopher Johnson was Lightspeed, right?
Yeah, yes. No, in space.
In space, I never got a chance to work with him.
You worked with Andros.
That's right, Andros. Yeah, and I actually worked on a movie that he did called Light in the Forest, and I was a stunt rigger on it.
Oh,
don't have anything really to say with him. I've never really interacted with him that much.
So just a really good guy, then, is that what you're saying?
Blank.
Yes.
Blank. No comment.
Danny Slavin is the lost.
Danny Slavin, nice guy. Didn't really work to communicate with him that much. More of a blank there too.
Yeah.
All right. Sean Johnson from Lightspeed.
Sean Johnson. Oh, Sorry, yes, from Lightspeed.
Lightspeed.
Handsome fella. Nice dude.
All right. How about your friend Jason Font?
Let me say something about Sean Johnson. Originally, they were going to cast me as the Blue Ranger in Lightspeed Rescue.
Really?
Yes, but they felt like I would have just been way too intense next to the Red Ranger, Sean Johnson. So instead, they didn't.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights.
Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ask me.
I'm going to say whoever came to that conclusion did very good. They did. They would have been right.
I think that the Quantum Ranger role was the perfect role for me as an actor at that time. So
absolutely.
Okay, moving on from Sean Johnson.
Your buddy Jason.
Jason Font.
Yeah.
Good buddy.
And then last but not least, Wild Force Ricardo Medine Jr.
Frickin' knucklehead.
Speaking
of Wild Force. Any chance Eric and the Yellow Ranger from Wild Force are like dating now or something like that? Because when I watch Reinforcements from the Future, I notice that what's her character name? I can't even remember. I'm watching the series. I don't even remember.
What was Allison Kipperman's character name?
Oh man, Haley, something. I don't remember.
Well, I can't even remember.
This is bad.
At least we remember her name.
Yes. Taylor. That's what
Taylor.
It was.
That's right. Taylor.
Yeah.
We were hanging out while we were filming that. And I think, now don't quote me on this, but we did that scene where we meet in the parking lot and she unmorphs and I realize it's the girl I gave the ticket, right? And we have that little kind of hot moment between us.
Yeah.
And then I think her boyfriend was on set that day.
Oh,
and then
God.
Which, first of all, it's not even really that steamy a scene, but you just don't bring your significant other to those kinds of things. Yeah. Anyway, I heard he broke up with her after that. Or rather, she broke up with him. I don't know. Anyway, they split up. And then she and I started hanging out a little bit. Just after work, we'd go and get dinner. Nothing any more serious than that. But there was, I think, a moment that maybe it could have gone that direction. Maybe that's just my own delusion.
I can just see him in the parking lot telling her, look, you either pick me or the Quantum Ranger. Choose.
She was a sassy girl.
Yeah.
Back then when I knew her, she was a sassy girl. So,
yeah. It's so funny because when I listened to, again, No Pink Spandex's interview with Aaron Cahill, mm-hmm. they brought up the fact that Aaron and Jason never got, Wes and Jen never got that love scene or anything else. It turns out that Jason was married at the time and still is married today.
He had a girlfriend. Yeah. I think he got married. I think he got married soon after the show. He was dating.
Yeah.
But that's the girl he was dating.
Yeah.
But she was cool. I mean, if you realize that the person you're involved with is an actor and that's part of what they have to do, then that's just the way it goes. You don't go crazy about it.
And that's kind of what I was thinking when I heard that, their girlfriend or their boyfriend kind of getting mad. It's like, I mean, what did you expect when you started?
Well, I mean, it's still a hard thing. It's no easy thing if you're sitting there on set and you're watching the person you're involved with recreate the same emotions that you when you're in a relationship feel like, oh, those are your precious moments that you spend with somebody, and yet here they are doing what they do organically with somebody else to make it real and believable. That can throw people off a bit, and often it does, and it's understandable,
Definitely.
Ultimately, in the end, you have to come around and go, okay, all right, this is just what we do for a living.
Especially if they want that paycheck.
I'll be honest with you, a lot, there's a lot of actors fall for each other, and all you have to do is just read about it in the news. Actors are always leaving one another for another one. Part of that is because actors have to be very emotionally available, and I think the problem with that, though, is that it can get some of them into trouble. who's to say?
Okay, well, you got past projects. You got Power Rangers. You got anime. Is this correct?
Anime.
He's done some video games. The anime question was for Johnny Young Bosch. I copied and pasted that.
Oh, good for you.
Unless so you have done. Hey, you have you done anime before?
Edit this out.
Shut up.
Devil May Cry 3. Virgil.
Yes.
You guys know.
Three and four, right?
3 and 4 and 3.5, which is you can play the game as Virgil.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So yeah, and then lots of games after that.
So since you have the sci-fi series coming up, plus your Power Rangers stuff, you should totally start hitting all the different cons. San Diego Comic-Con, Chicago Comic-Con.
I don't know who to talk to or how I would go about trying to get into the San Diego Comic-Con. Maybe you can help me out with that. But I am going to Anime Festival Orlando. I am going to Morphicon. And I got another offer from somebody else. I'm waiting to hear back from them.
Because I am a huge Power Ranger fan, and I go to all those cons. And when I get there, and there's all these people from Star Trek and Star Wars, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but I could care less about any of that stuff. I would be more than happy to see Daniel.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm sure there are plenty of people from the Star Wars and the Star Trek camps that would say the same about Power Rangers. So it all evens out. I would love to go to Comic-Con. I got to figure out how to get in there and what I'm going to do to get in.
How many, like you said, how many conventions have you been to at this point? I mean, have you already been to Power Morphicon in the past, or
is this your
first time going? Or
I kind of crashed Power Morphicon the first time a few years ago, and then crashed again the last time, and this will be the first time I'm actually officially gonna be there.
Awesome.
So this will be my first official appearance at Power Morphicon.
Awesome.
Do you know the dates on that?
I don't know the dates.
Yeah,
I need to look up these dates,
and we probably need to attend.
Well,
that.
You can go to the Facebook fan page, or you can go to the website, and all that stuff will be there, along with the trailer to Divergence.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, look at that. Two birds with one stone.
There you go.
One final question here. You know, as I just mentioned, you've been to a few of the cons. You've crashed a few of the cons. Do you have a strangest fan interaction story? Is there like just one? When I asked Tara Strong this question, she's like, someone came up and asked her to sign her butt.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a strangest fan interaction story?
Yeah, that stuff doesn't seem so out of the ordinary to me. I don't know what I could say. strangest, you know, the strangest thing that happened to me was, has nothing to do with anything that's ever taken place at the conventions. It's more, I had some guy call me up on my cell phone. I don't know how he got my cell number, but he'd gotten a hold of my cell phone number, mm-hmm. and calls me up and says, "Hey, is this Dan Southworth?" And I'm thinking it's a friend of mine messing with me. And yes, who is this? The Quantum Ranger Dan Southworth? And I'm going, "Who is this? What do you want?" And he goes, "Oh my gosh, I'm a little bit nervous. It really is." And I start to realize it's a fan that had gotten a hold of my cell phone number. So I convince him to erase my cell phone number and call me on my home phone. And then he asks to send me some stuff, and I tell him that he probably shouldn't, because I'm not allowed to, you know, if I'm somebody who's developing material, and if somebody sends me their stuff unsolicited and I develop something that by chance happens to have, you know, something similar,
it's subject to lawsuit. Yeah.
It's a pain in the butt. So I'd rather not receive unsolicited material, because, you know, there's only so many stories you can tell before stuff is just, you know, it's not that difficult to come up with something that somebody else has come up with at the same time. So anyway, I was getting pictures of monster hands. I thought that was very interesting from this fella. But I moved since then, which means I no longer have the same home phone number or address, so I haven't heard from him since. I did sleep with a gun underneath my pillow for a while. But
so you were sleeping with one eye open, huh?
It's about as strange as it's gotten.
He set up a bunch of mannequins and stuff, like in Home Alone, so he just thought there was like a house full of people there.
All right. One last time, remind everybody about Divergence.
Divergence, sci-fi action series, new webisode coming out. 10 episodes, going to come out this year. Check it out at whatisdivergence.com. You can click on the trailer link there and look at a bunch of stills and get all the information on the show there.
Yeah, and I'll probably not only put the website link in our post, but I'll also probably embed the trailer into our post.
Awesome. You're welcome to do that. And you can go to the Daniel Southworth Facebook fan page. There's all the information there as well. It's a pretty cool little page. It's not mine. It's run by some administrators.
It's run by Catherine and Susan. Yeah.
That's right. And don't forget Kate. Kate, Catherine, and Susan.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's all right. I've twice already said a name other than Catherine, so I'm just happy to remember that Catherine, Kate, and Susan are the administrators. But it's an awesome little site, and they do a great job running it.
Awesome. So we'd like to thank Mr. Southworth for taking the time to chat with us in the special From the Command Center interview.
Do you have any idea how fast you were going, ma'am?
I'm sorry, officer.
Mm-hmm.
You see...
Driver's license, please. Thank you.
So, did you give her a ticket?
Yep. I could just tell she was troubled.
Just your type.
You kidding?
The Quantum Friggin' Ranger. That was awesome.
I gotta agree, dude. I mean, you know, like I said, I hated him in the show. Then I kind of liked him. And now that I've actually met the real guy, he's grounded. His head's on straight. He worked his ass off to get where he was.
Jackie Chan's stunt liaison. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I love the guy, dude. I'm going to go as far as saying I love another man in a manly kind of way.
Starting to get a little creepy there, Scotty.
Saying in a manly kind of way.
Still, going a little creepy.
But, yeah, I just want to say thanks to Daniel from both of us for that interview. We really appreciate it, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, it was so, so awesome. So that's going to do it for this interview on From the Command Center, as I said before. We're still trying to reschedule the Johnny Young Bosch interview, and actually now that we've interviewed Dan, I'm going to bring up the fact that Johnny beat him out of Mighty Morphin. I had no idea Dan was involved that far back.
Yeah, I had no idea he was involved in all of that stuff. I mean, I didn't, from my understanding, he was just a stuntman that got a break to be the Quantum Ranger. I didn't know that he went all the way back to Mighty Morphin and went to this and went to that, and that's awesome.
Yeah, very, very awesome. So we'll catch you next time, ladies and gentlemen.
Quantum power!